You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, March the 3rd, and some trade talk and the Tampa Raptors. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast today. We're going to talk about the Toronto Raptors as the Pistons will head south to Tampa, Florida to take on the Raptors tonight in the first of a back-to-back that will close the first half. Also going to talk about the trade rumors. Spencer Dinwiddie, is he a fit for the Detroit Pistons? Also talk about who the Pistons might trade in return. I have some thoughts on that. And also our guy Breishan checking in from Philly with his thoughts on the three-point line, on the Google voicemail line. So many threes last week in a game against the New Orleans Pelicans. I wanted to take your temperature on that. One of our favorites gives his take from late last week. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give Brother Brian a follow as well on Twitter at @BShook12. And also the Play Michigan account. We're close to 1,000. When we get to 1,000, I will give you guys at least a week off of promoting the Twitter account. So that's your reward if you give it a follow. Play_Michigan. Get to 1,000. We'll take a week, maybe even 2 weeks, of talking about giving it a follow on the Twitter machine. But the Pistons back in action tonight after a little bit of a delay in a game that was supposed to be played on Tuesday night, the first of a back-to-back to close the first half that will end up on Thursday in New York to play the Knicks before 1 week off until a game a week from Thursday, I believe, Charlotte to open the second half, but plenty of time to talk second half later. But here's Brother Brian to talk about the Tampa Raptors and the Pistons tonight.
This is your Pistons game preview. The 9-25 Pistons will look to snap a three-game losing streak, taking on the 17-17 Toronto Raptors in Tampa tonight. Sadiq Bey will look to extend his double-figure scoring streak to 12 games, which is the longest such streak for any NBA rookie this year, and the longest such streak for any Piston rookie since Grant Hill did it in the 94-95 season. The Pistons will be taking on an undermanned Raptors team who will be without Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Malachi Flynn, and Pat McCaw because of the NBA's health and safety protocols for tonight's game against the Pistons. That is in addition to Nick Nurse and several other members of the Toronto Raptors coaching staff. The Raptors will be led by guard Kyle Lowry, who is averaging 18 points and almost 7 assists a game, to go along with almost 6 rebounds a game, and he is joined by Norman Powell, averaging close to 18 points a game as well. Chris Boucher joins the two, averaging over double digits. Toronto is currently a 9-point favorite in the betonline.ag spread, and with a game number of 215.5, the under has come in 8 of the last 10 Pistons matchups. The game will tip off at 7 p.m. from Amalie Arena on Fox Sports Detroit and WWJ 950 AM. This has been your Pistons game preview.
A couple old friends in action for the Raptors these days. Stanley Johnson pretty much at the end of the rotation. I guess in the rotation might be a little bit stretching of the word rotation. Aaron Baines also getting minutes for the Toronto Raptors there, who are a little bit short on bigs. OG Anunoby kind of playing a little bit of a starting center for them. Boucher also in the mix there with the big rotation. But some fan favorites there in Baines and Stanley Johnson. I was a Stanley guy, but I knew it wasn't working. You wanted it to work out for him really badly, though. You love the defense and the, I guess, transition possibilities that could have been there, but never really unlocked with the Drummond, Reggie Jackson era. Jackson didn't just walk the ball up the court. I like to say he kind of preened the ball up the court. Maybe that's a little derogatory towards Reggie Jackson's initiation of the offense. But you always wondered why you had the best rebounder in the NBA and why you didn't try to get some sort of transition, a deep outlet kind of thing. Stanley Johnson running up the wings. I don't know. Never really worked out. I guess I don't know as much as some of those coaches. But, hey, another thing, Brian, talking about the betting numbers there, and I shouldn't be your man for betting advice, but I will be keeping an eye on that number throughout the day, all these Raptors out. What does that mean for the line? Some wonky stuff out there. You might take a look at the different sports books and see what might be out there. I do have like a little bit of betting advice. I'm a huge emotional hedge guy. That made me some money with the big Illinois win over Michigan on Tuesday night. Also, if you're a tank guy, you can do like the emotional hedging with the tank. If you want the Pistons to lose for the tank, you maybe bet on the Pistons to win on some of those money lines. That's your emotional hedge right there. Or throw them in parlays with teams that are playing against Minnesota, right? And if your parlay gets busted, well, you can be happy about your team's results. There's just a thought. Little food for thought for the bettors out there. A couple other things about the Raptors. They are right in this logjam middle of the Eastern Conference right now. We know that the 9th and 10th place teams in the Eastern Conference will make the play-in game, which could have an impact on the trade deadline. We'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But Boston, 4th place in the Eastern Conference at 18 and 17. Meanwhile, the Bulls are 10th at 15 and 18. That's right, just two games in the standings separate seven teams from 4th to 10th. Toronto is right in that mix. Remember that the Pistons have their second-round pick next year, so more layers upon layers on this game tonight. That's probably going to be a second-round pick in the 40s. I remember all the tweets early this season. I think they started 0-3, also 1-6. Guess what? They're going to be good. No, that was not a valuable pick that they got for Bruce Brown. It'll probably be in the mid-40s there. Depending on the draft, from people I listen to about the draft, you get to about the 45th pick in a normal draft. Now, sometimes that could be lower on a good draft or higher on a bad draft that isn't as deep. And another thing that's interesting about draft by draft is we want to just call a good draft and a bad draft. Well, this year's was supposed to be kind of bad, but it was also kind of deep. And then when the guys at the top have been pretty good, it made the top above average or good. And then the deepness is kind of showing out in guys like Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey. So it wasn't even really billed as that bad of a draft. Just at the top, it was supposed to be bad. So that improves, and it makes that top bad, middle okay, middle even good. Now it turns into like a pretty good draft. I don't know if they made any sense there. But when you get to that 45th pick, there's really kind of no value. If you get almost past that, especially into the 50s, it's basically not important at all. You'd rather have the pick than not. You can package it with things and make other teams feel good about trades that they made, such as like the Svi Mykhailiuk for Reggie Bullock trade. The Pistons were able to sell to their fan base. Hey, we got a pick, and Svi. Well, you got a Lakers second-round pick, so that doesn't really mean anything there. But just, the overall lesson, not all second-round picks are created equal. Some would argue that they're not valuable at all. I'm not one of those people. But when you're talking about a pick in the 30s, that is a thing. When you're talking about the 40s, it could go either way. The 50s, again, you're kind of talking about nothing, although better to have it than not, of course. But different drafts are deeper. I remember in 2017 when the Pistons traded for Kyrie and drafted Bruce, I think that was something like 39 and 41. That was known at the time that those were, in normal years, possibly first-round type of guys that were lasting into 10 picks into the second round. So it made sense at the time for Ed Stefanski to trade extra future seconds to get Kyrie that extra pick, because that's where the value was that year. To the pick the Pistons got for Drummond, for instance, probably no value. I know that that's been shipped along in these other deals over time. The pick for Rose with Charlotte, that could be decent next year. Toronto, probably not, although it's looking like they'll be right around each other now at this point. But again, I'm going on all sorts of trade tangents right now. I enjoy trade season. I hope you guys too. It's basically what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. The deadline's coming up on March 25th, 3 weeks from tomorrow. That is a Thursday, is the NBA trade deadline. And up next, we're going to get right into it, talking Spencer Dinwiddie, some ideas I have, and some other thoughts as well. Breeshan is going to join us later on for a voicemail, too. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first, it's always kismet when we get a product that I use on a regular basis and something that's helped me out in 2020 and pushing me forward to a better 2021, dealing with the pain. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out or an injury or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun 4. The OLED screen and design makes you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site and check it out. And the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, PG, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and hundreds of thousands of customers and me. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. 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 And more wellness and more goodness for you. March is National Sleep Month, but you wouldn't know that sometimes from watching some of you guys toss and turn. That's right, I watch you sleep. And as the official CBD of a good night's sleep, our good friends at CBDMD want to help you celebrate the right way. They've got dozens of options to help you relax, recharge, and enhance your nighttime routine. And there's nothing more calming than a nice hot bath. CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience. Choose from lavender or eucalyptus scents or a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. While CBD bath bombs provide a refreshing, relaxing bath experience by combining 100 milligrams of CBD with essential oils, Epsom salt, and calming natural scents to help you soak away the day. CBDMD is my favorite. I've used a lot of these products, and it's really helped me unwind. I'm one of those restless guys, especially when I'm up till 11:30, taping your favorite podcast. And to make it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA, for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products at CBDMD.
Yes, sir!
Oh, we got Breeshin from Philly a little bit later on. He's got some thoughts on the three-pointers flying all over the Big Easy the other night. A couple of quick notes for you, too. Governor Whitmer says fans can go back to events, so it sounds like after the All-Star break, 750 fans since Little Caesars Arena has over a 10,000 capacity, so some more Pistons fans will be making their way to Little Caesars Arena. And also, today, according to Amari Sankofa of the Detroit Free Press, they will be recognizing the Rising Stars rosters for All-Star weekend. There will not be a game, but they will release the rosters. This is a game of rookies and sophomores that are going to be announced. As you remember, the one roster will be of Team USA players, and the one roster will be of Team World players. In the past, they've done 10 on each team, so obviously the question becomes, how many Pistons are going to make it? You got Sadiq and Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart as potential candidates for Team USA, and then you got some Team World candidates where you got Killian Hayes, who with the injuries won't be playing and certainly won't be named as well. Davidas Servetus. Sorry, Dave. I don't think it's going to make it this year, this time. But Sekou Doumbouya, who's obviously not having a great season in his sophomore campaign, but I'll tell you why. He might have a little bit better of a chance than even Sadiq and Stewart. So for rookies and sophomores, first and second year players, 10 of them from Team USA that will be named. I want to throw out some names for you right now. Zion, Ja, LaMelo, Emmanuel Quickley, Anthony Edwards, Tyler Hero, Tyrese Halliburton, Kobe White. To me, those are eight guys that will be on the team. So there's basically two spots left. And thinking about Sadiq and Isaiah Stewart, and again, this is kind of more of a back-of-the-envelope kind of thing. I didn't spend a lot of time breaking down numbers or anything like that. But you got Darius Garland out of Cleveland. You got P.J. Washington in Charlotte. DeAndre Hunter from Atlanta, not playing, but was putting up some really good numbers earlier this season before he got hurt, so he could maybe put a case together for his season this year. rookies. You got James Wiseman and Patrick Williams. You got Keldon Johnson down with the Spurs as well. So throw Bay and Stewart into that mix of guys that could be in that next level of spots for two. Being a Pistons fan and someone who's followed this team, I'm going to go ahead and say that neither of those guys are going to make it. James Wiseman and maybe we'll say Patrick, we'll say Keldon Johnson. Keldon Johnson and James Wiseman kind of throwing a bow there to the Spurs. And again, back of the envelope, maybe I missed someone big. But it's possible. I think it's possible that Sadiq Bey makes it, but I don't think it's going to happen for him. Isaiah Stewart to me is a big long shot for this one. But the real travesty is that they do it this way now, that it's rookies and sophomores, because if it, or that it's Team USA and Team World. If it was rookies and sophomores, I think Sadiq Bey would be on that. He'd be a top 10 guy in this rookie class so far. But I think Killian and I think Sekou, if he'd been playing better, would have had really good chance of making this team. There are not a lot of good foreign players in these first two classes in the NBA right now. If he was playing decently, I think Dumbuya would have a good chance of getting on. And even still, he might actually make it. That's how weak it is right now. You got RJ Barrett from Canada. You got Evdia, Teo Maladon, Rui Hachimura, Goga Batadze. I mean, these are guys that are not lighting the NBA on fire. I'm just kind of scouring Basketball Reference last couple drafts for names. Precious from Miami. He's from Nigeria, so he'll make it. Poku's out there. Again, wouldn't be the weirdest thing in the world if Sekou Doumbouya actually made the world team. And again, you know I'm a Sekou guy if you listen to this podcast. I'm not saying he deserves it or that he needs the recognition, but there's just a lack of good players in the talent pool for the team world for the rookies and sophomores futures game. So again, not super consequential, but I think Sekou might actually have the best chance out of Pistons, as weird as that sounds, knowing that Stewart and Bay obviously outplaying him this season, but because of circumstances, Sekou might actually have the best chance. But some more reaction from the weekend. Spencer Dinwiddie news, rumors out there. Ian Begley of SNY reporting the teams are inquiring to the Brooklyn Nets about Spencer Dinwiddie and naming the Pistons as the one specific team in the report that was named. A little bit strange why they would be the one team that was named. Don't know what the motivation for whoever leaked that information might be. It's fun to try to wrap your mind around those kind of things. But my thought is that Mason Plumlee makes a whole lot of sense for the Brooklyn Nets. They basically have DeAndre Jordan as their center right now. Reggie Perry is kind of in a backup role, but not a guy that you want to play in consequential playoff games. Unfortunately, Mason Plumlee is not the Nerlens Noel type of rim protector that we saw from the Knicks the other night. So that is not necessarily fitting that need, but it's a veteran player who can step in and play in these types of games. Six fouls against big men throughout the NBA and into the playoff runs as well. The salaries do work for a trade straight up in the trade machine of Spencer Dinwiddie and Mason Plumlee. And over the weekend when I saw the report, I was like, well, I'll sit down at some point and figure out which team needs to sweeten this deal with some second-round picks or something like that. And I know it sounds strange because Spencer Dinwiddie, obviously a much better player than Mason Plumlee. But if you didn't know, Spencer Dinwiddie tore his ACL. He's out for probably the whole season, although there was some glimmers of hope that he might be coming back this year, has a player option for next year. So, again, Mason Plumlee going to the Brooklyn Nets makes a team who is right now the Vegas favorite to win the Eastern Conference and to the second favorite to win the NBA championship behind the Lakers. You might be helping a team win a title if you trade Mason Plumlee to the Brooklyn Nets, like the Pistons did for Bruce Brown. If you've been paying any attention there, he's as the biggest Bruce Brown fan in the world. It's incredible what he's been doing for the past five or six games for the Brooklyn Nets. Steve Nash has found him a role that's perfect for him, where he's kind of a Swiss Army knife doing it all for them. Dive into the rim. His finishing around the basket, his floaters right now, the numbers around the rim are unbelievable, which is amazing because that was one of his biggest weaknesses here in Detroit. Not shooting threes right now in Brooklyn because he's not making them, so he's not really shooting them anyway. We know about the Mason Plumlee contract. I gave it way too much crap in the offseason. I just thought it was not a great way to use your cap space, especially when things like the Jared Allen deal are out there. Smaller things like the Saben Lee types of deals are out there, ways you can use your cap space to maximize rebuilds. But this would be a classic sell high, right? I mean, it's an opportunity to get off that deal. And I know Mason Plumlee's playing well enough where you don't necessarily have to get off of that deal right now, but it would clean things up right now. You have three centers under contract next year in Stewart and Jahlil Okafor and Mason Plumlee. You might be drafting Evan Mobley. That might clear up minutes there. And I know that you add a little bit of a log jam if you bring in Spencer Dinwiddie for point guard next season, but it's good to have as many chess pieces as possible, especially when looking around the NBA and seeing more primary ball handlers playing together, especially if they can knock down some outside shots. Now, I know you don't want to sign a guy like Plumlee to a three-year deal and trade him right away. Well, things change, right? I think that you could have behind closed doors conversations with him, and I'm sure he would be okay with getting minutes on a contender and winning a ring. He also has that 10% trade kicker, so that $8 million per season turns into closer to $9 million there. So, hey, Mason, what do you think about making, $2 million extra dollars throughout the life of this contract just if we trade you? I think that might be something he'd be interested to. Brooklyn needs a body. Again, not the rim protection that they might need in trading Jared Allen, coincidentally. But you have to throw something at Joel Embiid in the playoffs. The Bruce Brown sorcery has to slow down at some point, you would think. And he's probably not a great option at the five for center, like he's playing at times right now for the Brooklyn Nets, who are without Kevin Durant. Again, Dinwiddie's got the torn ACL. We know, former second-round pick of the Detroit Pistons. Sounds like he won't play this year, but there is a chance. He's got the player option for next year at $12.3 million. Hard to look into this offseason and make a lot of projections because there are not a lot of teams with cap space. Well, there's a few teams with cap space, but not like there was supposed to be this free agent bonanza coming in this year. Well, it turns out everyone signed extensions, so there's not a lot of free agents out there this year. He's coming off the ACL, so does he pick up that $12.3 million? It really is kind of hard to say, and it does have a lot to do with if he gets traded, where he ends up. Does he want to play in Detroit? Does he have negative feelings about that? He could turn down that player option to get more security on a long-range deal. If you're Detroit, you're basically acquiring those bird rights with the idea of assigning him to an extension. Maybe that's something you might know before you pull the trigger on the deal or not. But even if he is acquired and he doesn't end up re-signing, that's also not the worst thing in the world. You get off of Plumlee's money for the next couple years. You also help the tank for the rest of the season, right? Mason Plumlee playing well right now helps the Pistons win. We've talked a bunch about how there is some value in being the worst team in the NBA for the Pistons this year. So I don't know. I mean, who knows? Did Spencer Dinwiddie hate it in Detroit? A really likable guy, obviously. If you follow him on Twitter, into the blockchain, one of the smartest, not players I've ever met, one of the smartest guys I've ever met, talking to him one-on-one a couple of times. He tried to sell his contract in a stock type of situation the last couple years. He's just smarter with that kind of stuff than you and I, tweeting about Top Shot way before everyone else in the world was too. And coincidentally, with Mason Plumlee and what the Nets might be looking at for centers and on the market, an important factor of this is what is going to happen with Andre Drummond with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And no, the Brooklyn Nets are not going to trade for Andre Drummond, but if nobody trades for Andre Drummond and he ends up on the buyout market, it would make a lot of sense for Brooklyn to pick him up at a minimum prorated the rest of the year, and that's an even better option than Mason Plumlee. So coincidentally, the future of the Pistons and the moves that they might make over these next couple weeks have a lot to do with one Andre Drummond. If you haven't noticed, Cleveland sucks right now after their good start, so they're probably going to buy out Drummond if they can't find a very complicated and big deal to make it happen, as we talked about on Monday's show. Dallas Mavericks might be out there, but oh, how the tables have turned and how Andre Drummond might still impact the future and the immediate future of Troy Weaver and the Detroit Pistons. But up next, Breeshin's going to tell us what he thinks about the long-range bombing in the NBA. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
It's Bang the Over Brother Brian getting you all set for the Pistons game tonight in Tampa. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And your Detroit Pistons are back in action tonight in Tampa to take on the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are 9-point favorites, and the game number is at 215.5. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Gotta tell you guys about RockAuto.com. It is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at RockAuto.com. They're always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. March Madness, well, it's only a couple of days away, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on this year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has released his Big Board 2.0 with profiles on Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get your podcast. Breeshin out in Philly, hitting the Google voicemail line for us, 810-666-1546. Add your name to the discourse here, 810-666-1546. Let us know what you think. How are you spending your time during the All-Star break? We threw out a prompt last week asking for your thoughts on all the three-pointers that were flying around, and Breeshin has some thoughts on the matter.
This is Breeshin coming from Philly, raised in Michigan. You and brother Brian were talking about how much the three-point shot is prevalent in today's game, and I feel you. You really want to drive to the hole because that's the more accurate, efficient shot. The closer you are to the basket, the more likely you are to make the shot, and it's the more exciting because that's where all the action happens. You don't want to see something like tonight's TNT game where four guys drive to the line and just jack up three-point shots. If you've got the open lane, take it to the hole. That's why the Pistons needs guys like Josh Jackson, Mason Plumlee, Beef Stew, whoever you have that can just get to the hole and make a bucket that is more on 60 to 70% of a shot as opposed to a three-pointer that's in the 30s. And so you look at the teams like Utah. You have great three-point shooters, you have great defense, but they always have a guy like Rudy Gobert or Derek Favors who you can run a pick-and-roll through and drive to the hole. You know, I really don't like that the three-point has been this prevalent, and I think the game needs to simplify down to just getting the easiest shot right at the basket, which is why I'm against the current analytics. So thanks, guys. I feel you do great work.
Breeshin, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. One of our favorite guys. Hey, mazel tov on the wedding. Got married a few weeks ago as well. Congratulations, my man. He's talking about the TNT game. I think it was when Denver went with a bunch of guys, ran to the three-point line and with a chance to tie the game with an easy wide-open lane to the for an easy bucket. And became kind of a not top 10 situation there. And I think even the analytics people would agree that, yes, you should take the wide open layup to tie the game as opposed to missing a three at the buzzer trying to go for the win. But maybe that is like a tipping point, right? Maybe that is kind of a famous moment that we'll remember that is kind of analytics go wrong. And I know it's not what analytics would say, that you would take a three-pointer instead of a guaranteed two when the time is running out and you could tie that game. But Breeshin, appreciate the call. Love hearing the old school guys convene and agreeing with each other. Always good to hear from you guys. 810-666-1546 is the phone number. Leave the voicemail if you got any thoughts on anything we're talking about, especially got some air to fill up here with the All-Star break. So let us know your thoughts on anything we talk about or things that you want to hear us talk about. Instead, we'll get Brother Brian enlisted during this week. Coming up as well, 810-666-1546. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.